I'd like for you to take your Bibles. I'm encouraged about this. I want to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. We have been looking at how God can change things. He can take darkness to light and so forth. We're going to be looking at this today. God can take failure and turn it to great faith. God can take failure and turn it to great faith. Let's pray, and then we'll get started. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged. Lord, I pray that we would not give in to the wicked one. We would not give in to Satan. Lord, I pray that instead we would know who we have believed. And in this day and age, Lord, may we be salt and light. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You know, there's a tool that Satan has used against me time and again. And I've got a feeling that he has possibly, most likely, done it for you, with you as well. It's amazing. I can be going along. I'm feeling great. God is good and all that. And then Satan reminds me of a past failure. He reminds me of a past sin. He reminds me of something, a past defeat. And next thing you know, I'm thinking on this, and all of a sudden I'm going to the Lord and I'm confessing that sin all over again. I'm wanting to leave it behind. You know, Satan is slick when it comes to that. You know, we think about a time when we should have yielded, we should have stopped, we should have prayed. We should have prayed for wisdom. We should have prayed for guidance. But at that time, I didn't. And you know, maybe you have too. Now listen, I moved ahead with the Lord. You know, I moved with his will. But sometimes I moved away from his will. I got to thinking about this. You know, it could be during this time, I'm speaking to somebody in our church. But I'm speaking to someone, right now you're struggling with sin. Because maybe you're having to stay home. You might be alone more than at other times. But because you're there and you haven't been able to be in the fellowship, you're struggling with sin. You know, when we get out of our routines, it's a perfect time for Satan to come in and just start messing with us. He messes with our minds. Now, what we can wind up doing is we can make an excuse. We can, you know, give in to the flesh. You know, it's been said that a sinner leaps into sin and loves it. But a believer, a born-again Christian, lapses into sin and they loathe it. Again, it could be that you're dealing with that. Maybe you're going through a time of temptation right now, and it's not going well. I want to encourage you this morning, because, you know, it's possible that during this time, and you're thinking of, you know, this being such an opportune time, you're wanting to be a witness, you're wanting to read God's word, you're wanting to pray, you're wanting to stand for him. You're wanting to be unashamed of the gospel of Christ. But the reality is, failure has come. Or fear has gripped your heart. The desire winds up being crushed. I'm reminded in his book, Kent Hughes, writing this book, Liberating Ministry from the Success Syndrome. He told about a young pastor. There were people that were by the church, and all of a sudden, here comes this truck. This young pastor is driving it. Not so unusual, except all of a sudden, he drives up on the lawn, and he backs the pickup up next to his office door. People come in, and they say, "Can we help you with anything, Pastor?" He says, "No." He opens the door, and next thing they know, His files are going into the back of the truck. His books start going into the back of the truck. Other items that he has for ministry, they start going into the back of the truck. People are a little stunned about this, and he closes the door and gets in the pickup, and he drives away, and what they don't realize, he's driven away for the last time because his next stop is the dump, and he takes all of his books and all of his files and all of his notes, and he leaves them there. And he never returns. And Kent Hughes speaks about the fact that this young man not only left that church, he left the ministry because failure had so dogged him. Failure had so discouraged him. You know, I praise God for this. We can look into the scripture and we can realize this. We are not alone. We are absolutely not alone. From the time we start reading, not just the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, we're going to find people that started out strong, or they had a desire. But the fact of the matter is, flesh entered in, sin rose up, and that was it. These last 2 weeks, I've been reading the four Gospels. And in fact, I'm just about finished. I'm just about done with the book of John. I was reading this morning. Now, you read the Gospels, and you wind up seeing different people. They'll start out, they'll want to stand for the Lord, they'll want to do something, but then they fall, they fail. There's one individual that just keeps popping up, and you know probably who I'm talking about. That is the Apostle Peter. And I smile because he's somebody like me. Hey, he's somebody like you. He's somebody like us all. Now, again, there are people right now that have become discouraged concerning their walk with the Lord. Don't be discouraged. But would you please listen? Would you please listen? In this time, please listen. Tim Hansel wrote a book entitled Eating Problems for Breakfast. In that, he wrote this: one of the reasons why mature people stop growing and learning is that they become less and less willing to risk failure. I hope and pray that's not us. It's been said, a calm sea does not produce a skilled sailor. So safe living does not produce faith living. Hudson Taylor, one of my favorite missionaries of time past, said this: unless there is an element of risk in our exploits for God, there is no need for faith. So stop and consider this. Am I really stepping out? I have a challenge for us all later on, but please keep this in mind. John Henry Jowett, the great English preacher, he pointed this out when it comes to the desire for self-preservation. Just listen to this quote, please. It is possible to evade a multitude of sorrows through the cultivation of an insignificant life. Indeed, if a man's ambition is to avoid the troubles of life, the recipe is simple. Shed your ambitions in every direction. Cut the wings of every soaring purpose and seek a life with the fewest contacts, and relations. If you want to get through the world with the smallest trouble, you must reduce yourself to the smallest compass. Tiny souls can dodge through life. Bigger souls are blocked on every side. As soon as a man begins to enlarge his life, his resistances are multiplied. Let a man remove his petty selfish purposes and enthrone Christ, and his sufferings will be increased on every side. But stop and think. Our God is with us. I want you to go first, before we get into Luke chapter 5, again, just keep a finger there. I want you to go to John chapter 1, please. Go to John chapter 1. I want to point something out here. Now, Jesus has been preaching. He is introducing himself to the world, and there are those that are listening to him, including John the Baptist's disciples. Look at verse 40, if you would. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him, John the Baptist, that is, was Andrew, listen, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, go back, if you would please, to Luke chapter 5. So right now, this is what takes place on up to what we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 5. The Lord is now gathering a little bit here, a little bit there. He's gathering to himself his disciples. One by one, they're coming to him. Meanwhile, because of different reasons, he leaves Judea and he heads to Galilee. He talks to the Samaritan woman at the well. He begins preaching there. He heals a royal official's son. He is rejected in Nazareth. He goes to Nazareth. He's rejected there. And so he moves on to Capernaum. And then one day, look, Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ship, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now think of it. There was the time in John chapter 1 that Simon was spoken to and spoken about by Jesus. And now he has had Jesus in his boat, and he's listened to him teach while he's washing his net. Right after that, look at verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets, plural, for a draft. The first point I want you to see is Simon the sorrowful. Look at verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Now remember that. We have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Now let's remember something. This is Simon's life. He knows fishing. He knows the Sea of Galilee. And he has been up all night. I don't know about you, but after working hard and staying up all night, it's not fun. He's exhausted. He's weary. And then somebody who is an amazing teacher turns to him and says, Go back out. Now, that's Simon the sorrowful. I've taken in nothing. But now, let's talk about Simon the skeptical. He doesn't get upset with the Lord. But he just say this, Okay, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Singular. How can I say that he was skeptical? Because the Lord said, Nets. He said, net. He's just not going to to go out and cast everything out again. He'll let down one. But now we find Simon the stunned. Look at verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came, and they filled both ships, listen, so that they began to sink. Now, you know something? Stop and think about this. A good portion of fish, he would have turned to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you, man. That's great. Thank you so much, boy. You know, we tried all night. There was nothing. Lord, this is pretty good here. This is great. A large portion of fish, he'd be startled. Wow, Lord, this is amazing. But you take the fish that Jesus brought Peter's way, and he was absolutely stunned. It just didn't fill his ship. It filled the other boat. I mean, they were beginning to sink. He is absolutely stunned. This is ripping. Soon, both boats, they're looking to sink. This was not skill. This was not luck. This was supernatural. Amen. This was a miracle. And what do we find now? We find Simon, the sinful. Watch this. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Listen, there comes a time, maybe it didn't happen when you were saved, but there comes a time when we are in God's word and we are listening to the Master. And there is something we realize. We are on holy ground. And we, without Jesus, are sinful men. That is something to recognize, realize, and praise God for. Because if we're born again, we have been cleansed. We are white as snow.
Right.
We rejoice in that. But Peter, at this stage, he is stunned, and now he is feeling the weight of his sin. But let's read on. Look at verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Now listen to this. We have seen Simon, skeptical, sorrowful, stunned, sinful. But we're going to see something take place here that is wonderful. We're going to see, declared by Christ, Simon, the servant of God. Look at verse 10. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, now listen, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, see, Jesus has a response as well. He says, I know of your sin. I understand that. But you are going to be mine, and I am going to give you a ministry. There is something. You see what you just did when it comes to these fish? You're going to catch men. You just wait and see. Now stop right here. Let's do a little bit of a timeout. All right, this is Peter, right? This is Peter. And when we think of Peter, there are some things that we think about. We're going to just briefly mention them. But stop and consider this. He has told him, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. This is the same Peter that failed. Yeah, later on, when he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me that I come into the water. He said, come. He came out. The wind was boisterous, all these things. Peter looked at Jesus, and then he looked at the waves, and he began to sink, and he said, Lord, save me. And the Lord did. And he looked at him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Peter failed. But now wait a minute. This is also the same Peter that Jesus that declared to Jesus when Jesus asked, Whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Here is Peter making a declaration, and Jesus says, yes, it is upon that right there I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The called out ones. And he says, this is what I'm building my church on, what you have said, myself. But just a couple of verses later, when Jesus speaks about his death, Peter says, no, be it far from thee, Lord. And he turns to Peter and says, Get thee behind me, Satan. Yeah, that same Peter, that same one, he said, From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Worst of all was the time when Jesus was going to the cross. Think of it. He had said, I'm going to stay with you, Lord. But, no, he says, You're going to deny me three times. I just read this recently in the book of Luke, and it just so wrenches my stomach because I feel so sorry. Here, Peter, for the third time, after being told by the Lord, you will deny me. In Luke 22, we read this. When Peter denied for the third time, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. Can you imagine? In the midst of all that Jesus was going through, the disciple that he loves, one of the disciples that he loves, he turns to, he looks on Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. Listen. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, please hear me out. Again, this is the same man whom God, the Savior, looked in the eye and said, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Would you go to Acts chapter 2, please? Go to Acts chapter 2. Now, if you go to the book of Acts and you start Acts chapter 2 and you start reading in verse 14, you find an astonishing message preached by Peter. Not going to take the time to look at it right now, but go to verse 37. Listen to what is written here. Now, when they heard this, those that he had been preaching to, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's us who have been saved. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now listen. Then they gladly received his word. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Amen.
You talk about a fishing expedition.
Yeah.
The boats were overflowing. And it went on from there. I love, just you go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and you read the words of this man. Grace and peace, verse 2, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That's 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. Now understand, this is that Peter that failed again and again and again. But the Lord had looked at him and said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Yeah, I know what's going to happen, and I'm not making any excuses for you, Peter, but I'm going to give you a chance, which he did after he was risen from the dead. But Peter turned and filled with the Holy Spirit. He's reading these things. Excuse me. He's writing these things. Listen to verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Listen, we have great, wonderful promises from our God. We have a God that is ready to forgive. We have a God that has given us another comforter, one called alongside, called the Holy Spirit. He has promised to be with us. That same God is with us. Now listen to me. It could be that you have been dealing with sin in your life right now. It could be that you have failed. It could be that maybe you're making some excuses for yourself. No, 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 no. This is what we do, because this is our time. Remember, we are here for such a time as this. I want you to do this. Please pay attention. Number one, I want you to reclaim the promises. Spurgeon said this, I would recommend that you either believe God up to the hilt or else not believe at all. Believe this book of God, every letter of it, or else reject it. There is no logical standing place between the two. Be satisfied with nothing less than a faith that swims in the deeps of divine revelation. A faith that paddles about the edge of the water is a poor faith at best. It is little better than dry land faith and is not good for much. Number one, reclaim the promises. Number two, readjust your priorities. It's been said, you cannot discover new oceans unless you have the courage to lose sight of the shore. Don't just stay at home and watch television. If you're inside, pray. But there are other ways, and I'll mention that in a moment. But if there are other ways, get out, speak to folks when you can, call people on the phone, get them online, whatever. Listen, every Christ follower must face the issue of surrender. You know, there was a speech that was given by our former president, Teddy Roosevelt. I remember when I was in speech class, we had to memorize this, and I don't have it memorized anymore. But it's entitled, While Daring Greatly. Some of you might remember this. It's not scripture, but I want you to be encouraged by this, because I'm going to challenge you to do something, all right? He said, it is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by the dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who, at worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I want to challenge our church people. In fact, if you're a born-again believer and you're watching now or you're listening or watching later, I want to challenge you with this. There are so many people that are getting on Facebook or other forms of communication right now. There are so many people that are trying to connect in this time when we are disconnected. You have friends I don't have. You have people that are in touch with you. They're not in touch with me or any other pastor, but you are. I want to challenge you to do this. Number one, if you find it necessary, write down your testimony. Write it down. Just briefly, write down the verses. Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:8, Romans 6:23. Romans 10:9 and 10, Romans 10:13, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. Write these down, these verses that we use when we give the gospel to people. And then get on Facebook. Get on Facebook Live. If you absolutely can't, then okay, just type it out. But I challenge you to get on Facebook Live. I challenge you to put it on YouTube or whatever. But I challenge you to get on there and declare to the world, hey, take Facebook and put your setting to public and tell the world, I'm a Christian. I have trusted Christ as my Savior. I cannot save myself. I did not want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. I wanted to be with my Savior. He died for me on the cross. He rose again. And I'm telling you, you can know him as well. You don't have to go to hell. You can go to heaven. I challenge you to do that. You say, well, I just can't do that. Yes, you can. When we have the Spirit of God, we have boldness. Look at what the early church did. I praise God. There was a young man that used to come to this church years ago. He got on Facebook. He said, I've taken up Pastor Rogers' challenge. And he gave his testimony. Sean Rinell, good for you. But there's others that can do the same. You either get on Facebook Live or you type it out. You say, well, you know, I don't look that good on Facebook Live. Look at this face. Does it look good? Nobody say anything in here, please. Excuse us, we're going to be doing some church discipline as soon as we get off here. But I challenge you, this is an unusual time. You think, well, you know, the thing is, Pastor, I haven't been living the life that I should have. Well, you know what? Get on there and say, you know something? I haven't been living the life that I should have, but I'm not going to keep it from keeping me. I'm not going to let it keep me from telling about the Savior that has forgiven me for my sin. Get on Facebook. Tell people about Jesus. Set it to public. Let the world know. My desire, sound crazy? I'm not trying to instigate something, but you know what I'm praying for? I am praying for 1 million Christians to get on Facebook and declare their faith in Jesus Christ. Can it be done? You can help start it. I can help start it. I've already put it there. This is a time we can get the gospel out. These are unusual times. Listen, Peter failed again and again and again. But Jesus looked at him and said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. You know something? I have failed in my Christian life again and again and again. I failed as a pastor again and again and again. I'm so glad for God's grace and mercy. Let's take the time to lift him up. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Let's use this time to get the gospel out. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be encouraged to give the gospel out. I pray that we would not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Lord, I pray that there would be those that would take up the challenge. I pray that starting today and going on through this week, that people will continue to share the gospel. Lord, I pray that there would be hungry hearts that would be listening. Lord, what a wonderful time to be faithful. What a wonderful time to rejoice in our faithful God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless this day. And thank you, Lord, for the time that we've had. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.